Okay, welcome back. A good simmer, as they say. After Pesach, that's what you say after Pesach. Like a good winter, a good simmer. So we'll pick up here with the Mishnah on Ayin Omid Aleph, which is actually a continuation of the same sugya of Nitrokna. Just remember, do we need to just a quick review? Just a quick review? All of those. All that kidney out. Did
we also block?
Right, that's correct. Nara Hamurasa, in that small window of time that she's a Nara, between 12 and 12 and a half, if her father, or if she becomes engaged, but not yet fully married, so there's this joint authority over her Nedarim that the father and the husband have to co-sign the check. In theory, either of them can. Each of them has veto power over the nedarim, and all the same regulations of Yom Shamo and that you have in a normal case apply here. The question is, what happens if something happens to either the father or the husband? Do the rights revert back or forth? So the Mishnah here on Ayin Omid Aleph says, we refer to this Mishnah, but not in its own context. Meta'av lo nitrukna reshut labal. If the father dies during this period of engagement, and again, remember, asterisk, engagement doesn't mean engagement, we use it today, you know what I'm talking about. If the father dies, his half of the rights, his half of the veto or kiyum rights, the hafara or the hakama, are not nitrokna, are not emptied out and given over to the husband. Now again, remember, the word baal is also misleading, because we're not talking about a baal, we're talking about an arus, right? He is not yet fully her husband. So what happens in that case if the husband is dead? If the father is dead? Kol od, that he's not her full husband before the chuppah. So basically any nedarim that she makes are kept. Because no matter how much the husband wants to veto it, he can't get the other guy to co-sign the veto. Because the other guy, the father, is... Metabal, however, nitrok the reshut la'av. Why?
The engagement's off.
Because the engagement's off. Right? And she goes back to being... What's the phrase in the Torah? Na'ara b'veit aviyah. However, so in other words, in this case, in the ratio of the Mishnah, who has the upper hand? The father or the husband? It seems like the father is in a more has more authority than the husband does. And I think we talked about this, that you can understand that it has to do with the ambivalent nature of this halachic engagement period. Right? In other words, is halachic engagement that she is... Is she a rivaka plus or an eshet ish minus? Right? So really, she's much more connected still to her father's house than she is...
If the father dies, we can say she's no longer a daughter. Okay.
Right.
Because the husband is no longer engaged. Okay. And the only thing that we're giving is this joint, double signing of the check. It's probably more like a kavod to the arus.
Is it a matter of kavod?
Well, it's a matter of, it says in the Torah, that's what you do. So why did he do it? I mean, if the father dies, he has no more authority.
Right.
So at least that something happened here. I mean, the relationship is not a full relationship. And the father's not around, so you can't do anything about it.
Uh-huh. Right. In other words, the husband does not have full authority, right? Which is why he needs... You know, it's like when, you know, my kid is now finishing the period, you know, the 2 years after your driver's license, where you have limited... Forget the fact that they have to pay a tremendous amount in insurance. He has a driver's license. It's not this way in America, at least not when I was a kid in New Jersey. You had a driver's license, you had a driver's license.
You could have a learner's permit.
Right, but once you had a license, you had a license the whole device. But here for 2 years, you can't drive. You can only have two other people in the car if you don't have an adult in the car. Like, we wanted him to take his three siblings someplace in Halamoy, get him out of our hair. But he could only take two of them. So it was like lifeboat ethics, which one was going to get left behind. But, the period of engagement is, he doesn't, but it raises the question, you mentioned kavod, I'm not sure that's it. The question is, what is the source of this power that the father or the husband or the father and the Arus together have?
Well, you can understand, I think, the source of the power of the husband, because it's a continuation of the power of the Arus. It's true that she's in this twilight period, but she still hasn't completely left his jurisdiction. The power of the Baal is, in some ways, for me anyway, a little harder to understand. But it's kind of like he's begun to have some jurisdiction. But anything happens to him, I mean, they could also write some kind of...
Right, but what is the source of this jurisdiction?
Because he's going to have total jurisdiction.
From the Bugarit, we have the...
Under certain circumstances, we'll see that in a moment.
But in principle...
You're on the right track.
But in principle...
In principle, no.
In principle, no. Isn't it just an exception?
Forget the Nara Hamurasa, which is this weird window of time of the co-signing. In the regular case, a minor daughter in her father's home, or an adult woman in her husband's home. What is the source of these men's authority over
their life?
It affects their life.
She, the daughter, okay.
He makes the Nadarim, it also affects her life.
No, the Seder, but she's, whatever you think of, like, the daughters at that time, she was kind of, you know, subservient to the sense, like, whatever. It's like the wife to a degree, you know, she's making the food, whatever, like, you know, right. And I was in the same thing. A similar relationship about, you know, the serving. And that was,
but not only the serving relationship, but it was kind of a Baalut relationship, you know, at least in the case of the father.
But that's related, I mean, it's not, you know, the Baalut itself doesn't affect the Baalut.
Shalom is right that the source of this authority is, of course, in the Torah. It's Xeris HaKosav. The Torah states it explicitly. So we can speculate where that comes from. So I'm not sure it's a question of, like, you know, this male patriarchy type of thing, as much as it is a simple quid pro quo. The Torah puts obligations on a father to his daughter and on a husband to his wife. And in return, it gives him authority over her in terms of her nedarim, because her nedarim are liable to impact on him in a way that intersects with those obligations.
What obligations do you have to his daughter?
What obligation? So that's a different question of fathers and sons, but why this is specifically on women.
And also, what obligations do you have to his underage daughter that doesn't have to his old enough?
Well, no.
Like, in other words,
here it could be. In other words, what is it? Is it that the din of the husband over the wife is kind of generated from the father over the daughter, which I'll be svaro without thinking about it too much, which is a contradiction to have a svaro without thinking about it too much, but I'll be svaro, you would think that, yeah, in other words, the Torah gives the right to the father, and therefore by extension to the husband, because just chronologically that's the way it works. First you have a father before every girl had a father before she had a husband. But maybe not the rabbi, maybe it's the other way. Maybe this is a din in the relationship between the husband and the wife, which then generates retroactively a din between the father and daughter.
Why
well, no, it's retroactively just in terms of the natural order of things. That first you have a father, and then you have
that the primary issue here is the
conceptual. I mean, retroactively, conceptually, not chronologically for any one woman.
The basis of this whole thing starts with a husband and wife's relationship.
Right, and then the Torah extends it.
Right.
So, what is that obligation that a husband has to a wife? I mean, read you go home, read Yiksuba. Among other things, like Shlomo used to say, "Gevalt the shirt off your back," is financial obligations. Is financial obligations. So, since a husband has financial obligations to care for his wife, so if she's going to make nedarim, now there are all types of nedarim. A neder that she's going to daven marv every night. Does not pose such a financial
thing.
But in general, when we think of nedarim, a garden variety neder, we're talking about things that have some kind of financial implication, some kind of food implication. Think of all the classic examples that keep getting thrown around in the Gemara. To eat this, not to eat that. The intersection of the meshek habayit. Think about even the Hebrew term. When is that term from? When is that term meshek habayit? We use the term meshek to mean the economy, but it's from the kitchen, right? The intersection of the kitchen and in America. What? Meshek is the. It's like, you know, where the food comes from. It's where the. Right? Is that correct?
No, you can even call a farm a meshek.
Right, because the farm is the.
Place for food.
Is the food, yeah.
He has the animals, but the actual terms
of
meshek is.
Right. But even think in English, the concept of the concept of home economics.
Right.
Home economics is, at least when I was in high school and they used to teach it, how to run the household, meaning largely how a woman runs the kitchen, the cooking, and the management of the kitchen.
Again, what's the father's obligation to the daughter?
No, so the husband's obligation to the wife is a financial, among other things, of course, is a financial one. So there's a, I understand the havamina, I understand the idea that we will give him authority over her nedarim, because nedarim, not exclusively, but largely, are things that have impact on finances. And since he has financial obligations to her, so he's entitled to have veto power of that. Once this is established, right, for husband, wife, so then it also gets generated father-daughter. A father also has obligations to provide for his daughter. Ah, but a father also has obligations to provide for his son. Correct, enachinami. But there's no source to kind of generate
that. Father obligations to her,
A father does have obligations to a mivulgaret daughter with greater limitations. But at a certain point, you have to say, look, she's an adult, and as long as she's kind of an adult after being with her father, but before she's gotten married, so there are going to be limits to it.
I'm wondering what happens to Betty. She could get married before as well.
If he marries her off, yeah.
If he marries her off. Right. But he can't marry her off after he does.
Nope.
So I think that might be the critical point here, is that basically she is... the marriage ability is really something that happens. It's under his control.
Right.
Before.
Right.
And so,
under
the father's control, the extension of this marriage.
Right.
If she has like a part of her life which is controlled by somebody, whether later from that adjunct could be the husband. And that part of her is controlled by the father before, and that's what drops off at age 12. It's not controlled by the son. He can't marry up the son. He can't similar control over the daughter. So that's the I think, extension that comes into
That's the avenue through which, or the conduit through which extension comes. This is speculation on my part, but I think there might be something to this. So as the Torah has this kind of idea, and as there are three stages in a girl's life, she's a katana, up until 12. Let's assume that the simanim come at the same time. When she turns 12 with simanim, she becomes what's called a na'ara from 12 to 12 and a half. She's an adult for the purposes of chiyuv b'mitzvot. That's why we make a bat mitzvah at the age of 12. But for certain purposes, she is not yet fully an adult, including, among other things, the fact that the father has an extra half a year of rights over her nedarim, assuming she's still single. And that's called a ne'ara. This half year period from 12 to 12 and a half is called a ne'ara. Before 12? No, in other words, no, if a child, it doesn't take effect. Well, no, not completely. We say that nedarim do, a child can make nedarim earlier, at least in a year before bar mitzvah. The child takes a neder. It has effect. On what level of effect is not clear. But this is related to the idea of, for certain things, I think we may have mentioned this earlier, for certain things, you can make a child a shaliach for a dvar mitzvah even before bar bat mitzvah. So for example, very practical case, you came home with new silverware from the shuk, happened in our house yesterday, and it has to go to tefillas kelim. So any kid can go over here to the mikveh and be tovim, right? To paraphrase a certain rabbinic metaphor, even a monkey can put addition to the mikveh. The question is, can a child be trusted to be a shliach l'dvar mitzvah if he's mitach l'bar bat mitzvah? So we say from a year before bar bat mitzvah, they can be trusted. They are ne'eman. They have ne'emanut to do a dvar mitzvah, because at that point already they're mature enough to take nedarim. And you can understand how the things are related. Right? Now, there's a certain level of intellectual maturity to be able to say, I'm going to do this or I'm not going to do that. I accept upon myself to do this or to do that. As well as to be able to understand, to make a declaration that, yes, I understand you're tasking me to perform this mitzvah on your behalf or on behalf of this spoon or fork. And I understand that my action has halachic significance. And I am believable to make a declaration that I did or did not do it properly. So, so for certain purposes, they're nedarim even before bar bat mitzvah.
I think this relationship between the father and the baal, in that case, I recall if we mentioned this. What happens if the girl, 6 years old, her father dies, she doesn't have a father. Well, she gets engaged. So, what rights to the baal does the baal have at that point?
If she has no father. So that's coming up. So, anyway, we finished the ratio of the Mishnah. Meita av lo nirak nirashut la'av, meita baal nirak nirashut la'av. Bezeh yafe koach ha'av mikoach ha'baal. So we see that the father has more authority than the baal has. However, b'davar echad yafek koach habal mikoach ha'av. However, in one regard, the husband has more power than the father. Shabal mefir bevegir va'av einu mefir bevegir. Forget this 12-year-old girl getting married. A regular case. Right? You have a daughter, you're still paying for her. You have two daughters, you're still paying for both of them. They are both long past bat mitzvah, but they seem to not yet be getting married. Although, sooner than you think. Can you exercise authority over their nedarim? No. No. Why? Because the day they turn 12 and a half, that's it. You're done. Right? The father has a serious time limit. The husband, however, has authority even over an adult wife. Not an adult arusa, but once they go under the chuppah, he has authority over an adarim, and in that regard, the husband's authority is greater than the Right. However, we'll see. That's the simple reading of the Mishnah. There's another way to read the Mishnah. That it might be that the husband also has rights over his arus, even when she's an adult, under certain circumstances. That's what's referred to. That's the Mishnah here. That's referred to in the Rashi, and we're going to come to it. The Gemara asks, "My timer, what's the reason that Meita Av lo nitrachna reshut labal? Domar kra binureha beit aviha." A little unusual. Usually when the Gemara asks my time, it answers with like, what's the Svara? Not with a source. But here, the source is quoted, Binureha Beit Aviha. In other words, as long as she's still in Na'ara, as long as she has not yet become a full Bogeret, 12 and a half years old, it's as if she were still Bevet Aviha. It's as if she were still in the Rishus of her father, even if she's engaged. Right? So as long as she hasn't hit 12 and a half years old, she's always partially Bevet Aviha, meaning, even though at this point there's only one man in her life, because her father's no longer around, as long as she is not fully beveit ba'ala, the Torah is a very clear, here there is a paternalism at work. You're either beveit ba'ala or beveit aviha. Right? So is she beveit ba'ala? No, why not? Because they haven't had Nisuin. That's what the chuppah is. What's the chuppah? What's the symbolism of the chuppah? She's entering into his reshut. Right? She's entering into his reshut. If you look in the if you look in like the seforim with like the halachot of chuppah v'kiddushin, like if you're ever masada kiddushin, so you maybe like when you got married. But you know that these books like Chuppah v'Kiddushin Kehilchata, right? You know, like every little din. So there's a chumrah about how the chuppah should be constructed. What do? You get four guys with a talis standing up, you know, with or without poles, and you call that a chuppah. But there's chumras about how the chuppah should be constructed. And it has to have a tsurat ha-petach, like Eruvin. And it has to be a certain size. Right, so that it constitutes a reshut, just like we have the idea of different reshuyot for Hilchot Shabbat, for carrying or for other purposes, for Hutza'ah. Right, so the chuppah should be like that. Right, it should have a tsurat ha-petach. It should have four poles. The poles should be underneath. It should be held taut. It shouldn't have like a dip in the middle. Right, so it looks more like a roof. So that it's halachically a reshut ha-yochid. So when she enters it, she's entering a different reshut because it's symbolic of his reshut and that he should own the chuppah. What? That's our minhag, that you do the kiddushin.
I'm saying you're supposed to be like her.
The seder, so because we've mixed it all up and we put everything together. But that... What? That's also the idea of the cheder yichud. There's also the idea of the cheder yichud. There's also a chumrah that the cheder yichud should be like the husband's domain. He should like rent it if he doesn't own it. If it's not like, maybe in the old days they would literally go back to his house. But the cheder yichud in the hotel or in the wherever it is, he should like rent it for a pruta from the hotel owner. These are all different chumras to emphasize this idea. That's what nisuin is, as opposed to kiddushin. Kiddushin, she's still bevet aviha. Nisuin is chuppah. Nisuin is she leaves her father's home and she enters her husband's home. So my taima shalom nitrakna reshut labal. because she is not yet under the Baal's roof. Right? And even though the father is dead, she is still, kol od that she's a na'ara, she is still part of Beit Aviha. So the husband cannot exercise full control. Netabal nitrok nereshut la'av. But the opposite does work. If the husband drops dead, what happens? She went from being an arusa back to being a pnuya beveit aviha, a revaka beveit aviha, and therefore the husband, the father, goes back to having exclusive rights. Minalan, what is the source that the reversion of rights flows in that direction but not in the other direction? Omar Rabba de Omar Krov im hayo tiye leish. V'nidareha aleha. So that pasuk, or this pasukim in Parshat Matot, this is pasuk. This is pasuk Zayin, Perek Lamed pasuk Zayin. Hayo tihye. So if the husband dies, the authority goes back to the father. So it's from this double. This double language in the pasuk, hayo tihiye. Look at the Rashi, im hayo tihiye laish b'shnei havayot katuv midaber. It implies what's the pshat of hayo tihiye? If she surely will be, that's the way that they. King James might have translated it. But what's a literal translation? Like if you had to, in a clunky way, literally translate it. If she...
They're both future.
No, that's not literal. You're translating figuratively. Correctly, but figuratively. If she will and will. Right? So this double willing, this double being... implies that it happened twice. So the Gemara darshans the posuk to mean, how could it be she'll be to a man twice? No, that's one being. Little Rachel, 12 years old and a day, gets, their father's cheap, as fathers are wont to be. So he has to make a bat mitzvah. So order a little extra herring, make a bat mitzvah and an engagement party. So Rachel gets kiddushin to Reuven, and the next day, Rachman Olitzlan, Reuven gets hit by a bus. What happens to the nedarim that took place that day? They go back to the father. But since we already ordered a dress, we might as well not let it go to waste. The day after, she gets engaged to Shimon. But in between, during the short engagement to Reuven, they have to co-sign. Before Reuven, the father has exclusive rights. Then, during Reuven's period, they have to co-sign. And then, during the Shiva for Reuven, it goes back exclusively to the father. And then afterwards, there's a period of co-signing with Shimon. And then after Shimon actually brings into the chuppah, then it's only Shimon. So the Torah says Hayotiyeh is kind of a hint to the idea that a woman could be engaged more than once. She could have also gotten divorced from poor Reuven. Reuven doesn't have to die, right? Rachel could have gotten cold feet and they get divorced. Because even after Kiddushin, you need a divorce. Breaking engagement is, right? Right. So that it goes back to the father. So Makish, the top of Ayin Omid Beis, Makish Kodmei Havaya Shnia. The Kodmei Havaya Rishona. Ma Kodmei Havaya Rishona, Av Mefer Lechudei. Av Kodmei Havaya Shnia, Av Mefer Lechudei. And that's, it seems a little convoluted, but that's where we learn out the din, Nitrokna Rishut La'av. Metabal, or they get divorced, it goes back to the father. Just like the father had exclusive rights before she ever got engaged, if she stops being engaged, it goes back to him. So that's the hint of Hayotiye, that there could be this intermediate period. Hopefully she will get married again. She's only 12 years old. Right? Metabal, hopefully she will get married. But in between, that's where we learn out this idea of it going back to the father. Ema hanimili benedarim shelo niru la'arus. About benedarim sheniru la'arus lo matse mefer. So wait a second. Maybe hanimili, let's have a avamina, she's engaged to Reuven. So when she's engaged to Reuven, you need to have both the father and the husband cancel. Or be makayim. You don't need both to cancel. Either one can exercise his veto. You need both of them to be Mekayim, either actively or passively. But if Reuven dies, the rights go back to the father. So the Gemara says maybe that should only be the Nedarim that Reuven didn't know about. But Nedarim Sheniru, that he saw, that he knew about, that he heard about, but hadn't yet made up his mind, maybe that...
On that day.
We're still on that day, yeah, right. In other words, you have to pocket
it.
Yeah. Maybe the neder is what did him in. Have on the nederim sheniru la'arus lo matzi mefer. I b'nederim shelo niru la'arus b'nareha b'veit aviyah nafka. No, so if you want to say that nedarim that the husband didn't, the Gemara rejects that havamina. It's all nedarim go back to the father. The ones that the husband knew about, the ones that the husband didn't know about. Because if you want to say that it's nedarim that the arus that the husband didn't know about, so then you wouldn't need to learn out from this hekesh. Right, as we learned out, the din of mitrokna, that the rights revert back to the father, is learned out from Hekesh. Right, hayo tiye. Right, but if you want to say that it's that the nedarim that the husband didn't know about needs a special limud. Well, you already have the pasuk binare b'veit avia. Manafshach, whatever the husband knew or didn't know, kolo the husband didn't do anything on that day. She goes back to the status of binareha b'veit avia. So that would be for all the nedarim. That would be for all the nedarim that the husband didn't take action on. If the husband had been mekayim the neder, or been mefer the neder. So then the neder is dead in the water. But anything that is still on the desk waiting to be signed or vetoed, so that goes back completely to the father's authority. The Mishnah had earlier said, "Bedavar echad yafeh koach habal," that the husband has rights over the adult daughter, the adult wife, but the father does not have any rights over an adult daughter. So the Yerushalmi says that the Mishnah is talking about a betrothed adult, an arusa, who's an adult. Since the father, anyway, has no control, in a normal case, your daughter's going to get engaged, right? So she's going to get engaged years after you stopped having any control over her nedarim, right? And suddenly she's going to be under her husband's neder control. And anyway, since the father had no control then, so her arus should be able to nullify. Now that's not the way we've been explaining this until now, but that is the view of the Rishalmi. The Bavli disagrees. The Bavli says that an arus has no power over an adult woman until the final marriage, until the chuppah. However, the Gemara will introduce this Mishnah, Look at this Mishnah. This is a Mishnah. I mean, you just have it here from the Kahati, but it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah itself is on Daf Ayin Gimel, Amud Beis, coming up in a few Amudim. That idea that a husband only has power over his wife, but not over his arusa, meaning he has power over nedarim, everything we've been saying up until now, has a caveat. And here's the caveat. You see, Mishnah Hay, it's Perek Yud Mishnah Hay. Bogeret sheshahata shneimasar chodesh, or in almanash loshim yom. Rabbi Eliezer Omer ho'il uva'ala chayav b'mizonoteha yafir. You have kiddushin. Nowadays, what's the time period between kiddushin and nisuin? However long it takes to read the ksuba, or maybe for the rabbi to make a speech. So there's a variable there. But maximum, you're not talking about more than a few minutes. Unless it's a very unself-aware rabbi. I was once at a wedding that Karl Bach was Masada Kedushin. Give out. I mean, it was like the Kedushin of the old time. There was like 3 years in between the Kedushin and the Nisu, and he went on for so long. It went on like all night. But in a normal case, all of our weddings, how much time was there between the Kedushin and Nisuin? 10 minutes, 5 minutes, right? Somebody told me they were Masada Kedushin. The father of the bride said, Rabbi, keep it short. They did the Kedushin. The rabbi said, Mazel Tov. They did the Nisuin. The father said, well, no speech. He said, keep it short. In the times of Chazal, how long was there between Kedushin and Nisuin? A period of time. An undetermined period of time. What happens if you make Kiddushin and you don't set a date?
For the
Nisuin? Yeah. Like, do you just remain... It's not like today. Today you get engaged. So usually you get engaged, the first thing, you know, like you come and you say, oh, Mazel Tov, my daughter got engaged last night. What's the first thing I'm going to ask? When's the wedding? And the assumption is you already know. You say, well, we're going to look at halls. It's either going to be in 8 weeks or 9 weeks. But it's not always that way. People get engaged.
Right.
And, I mean, I have a cousin. She's been engaged for years. I don't know how long. Right? But when they got engaged, they didn't have like a date in mind. They figured at some point. So you have kiddushin and you haven't set a date, you can remain in that state. Nothing changes. You're in this limbo indefinitely. So after you have kiddushin, if one side demands we have to set a date, so a clock starts ticking, right? If she says you have kiddushin, and she says, "Look, let's set a date." After 12 months, he, the husband, the arus, is chayev b'mizinoteha. Because the father could say, look, why should I keep fattening her up on my bill? She's your wife. You should pay. Right? So this idea that a man can be makadish and isha, and just kind of leave her in limbo all this time, right? With no, I mean, he doesn't have the rights over her, the intimate pleasures of marriage, but neither does he have the obligations to care for her, because she's still Bevet Aviha. So that's, as a Bogeret, right? Presumably the father is still feeding her. So after 12 months, when she says, we have to set the date, the clock starts ticking, if 12 months he has to... He has to complete the deal, or at least start paying for her mizonot, for her upkeep. Ho'il u'ba'ala chayav b'mizonoteha yafir. So wait a second. Maybe once he's chayav in to pay for her mizonot, he should at least get quid pro quo. He should get rights over her nedarim. And this is where the idea that I speculated on earlier, that the rights of husband over wife, father over daughter, are generated from a kind of quid pro quo that has a financial basis. And the idea that an almana, the kiddushin of an almana, the kiddushin nisuin of an almana, if in general there was on average a year in between kiddushin and nisuin, so it was always much shorter for an almana. Why much shorter for an almana? She was a miskina, but also she had a greater need to get married. In other words, even if you didn't marry your daughter for 12, you married her off at 14 or 15, she was still being cared for by her father until she gets passed off to the husband. But an almana is really kind of on her own, so you can't leave her hanging for quite as long. But since there is a case where an arus takes on financial obligations for an arusa before nisuin, so even over obogeret, there is a case in which a husband has, in which an arus has authority over the nedarim of his arusa bogeret before nisuin. And here it is. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Chachamim omrim ein habal mefir ad shetikanes l'rshuto. That she does not become under his nedarim thumb until the chuppah, no matter how long there is, even if he's paying for everything.
So the Yerushalmi holds like Rabbi Eliezer?
So the Yerushalmi... No, in other words, the Yerushalmi says that our Mishnah here, must be like this sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. So from this idea, from this precedent, that at least there's a shita that. There is a case where a man has rights over his adult arusa. So the Gemara will now go back to question. How could it be? Is there a case where the husband can be mefir even for a bogeret arusa? Said it. So we'll continue that next week.
Keep it
no, you can keep it. I mean.